Good morning. If you would you take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew 9? Matthew 9, that's where we're going to be spending the majority of our time this morning. Here in a moment, I wanted to talk to you about a goal that I want to strive towards in 2024. It's a goal that's derived from Matthew 9. And it's a goal that I believe all of God's people need to shoot for in this coming year. But first, I want to thank Kyle and Tony. Y'all will definitely be missed. Is about over. And if the Lord wills, 2024 will be rolling in here tonight, which I can't hardly believe, honestly. How was your 2023? As I looked back on the year, all of the things that happened, to me, it was kind of a blur. And I think it's that way as you get older. So I did a quick Google search. I wanted to see the topics that were important to people. I wanted to see the topics that were trending on Facebook and on the news. I wanted to get a feel of what the majority of the people were focusing on. So here's a quick list, sorted by month. January of 2023. Russia-Ukraine conflict wages on. Bills safety, DeMar Hamlin revived on the field. February. U.S. shoots down Chinese spy balloon. I forgot about that one. In March, Alex Murdaugh was sentenced. The Taylor Swift tour kicked off. Donald Trump indicted. May, the Hollywood writer's strike. Zoe Zephyr, transgender lawmaker. I had no idea who that was. But COVID-19 is no longer considered a global health emergency. In June, Donald Trump is indicted again. The Titan submarine goes missing. In July, interest rates skyrocket. Hawaii wildfires. Hunter Biden charged. Dianne Feinstein dies. In October, Hamas attacks Israel. Matthew Perry found dead. In November, Ohio enshrines abortion rights. Rosalind Carter dies. And what seems to be most important, and it pops up on my Facebook feed all the time, is Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. In today's world, there's a constant news cycle. It's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's in your pocket. People are constantly on Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. And for the majority of people, I'm afraid that's what they see. That's what their focus is. What they see is dictated by an electronic box, whether the box is small or larger. What did you see this last year? What did you spend the majority of your time looking at? What did you see? What did I see? So let's turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9 is a rough chapter in Jesus' life. Let's just go to verse 3. Jesus was accused of blasphemy. And it says, at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. The worst of the worst sin in this Jewish leader's mind. A sort of sin that is worthy of being struck dead right there. Blasphemy. In their mind, he was worthy of death. And in verse 11, he's accused of hanging out with the wrong crowd. Verse 11 says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They were digging. They were trying to find dirt on Jesus. And then in verse 14, he's accused of not being righteous enough by, of all people, the disciples of John. Verse 14 says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Then in verse 24, he goes to the house of a little girl that has passed away. He tells the people that the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. They ridiculed him. Then let's skip down to verse 34. The Pharisees accused him of being in league with Satan himself. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. That's a difficult chapter in Jesus' life. And yet, despite it all, when you read chapter 9, I want you to notice what Jesus saw. During this trying time of his life, what did Jesus see? It would be really easy for Jesus to focus on the insults, the distractions. They just said he was in cahoots with the devil. It'd be easy for Jesus to focus on the criticism. Just like it's easy for me and you to focus on all the distractions. All the troubling, trying times. The wars, the constant news cycle. It's easy for us to focus on the waves and the rough sea that is going on around us, just like Peter. But what did Jesus see? Let's go back to 9:1. 9:1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good joy, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven of you. It's in the very next verse that Jesus is accused of blasphemy. He focused on their faith. He saw their faith. And the scribe said he blasphemed. Jesus is at a crossroad. He has to choose if he's going to focus on the strong faith of some believers? Or is he going to dwell on the baseless thoughts of the scribes? The easy thing to do would be to quit. You know, you could say, well, I gave that the old college try. And people just don't want to hear what I say. Every time I try to do good, I get criticized. But what did Jesus see? Let's skip down to verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. Now, mind you, tax collectors were hated. I'm sure most people would pass on the other side of the street from the tax collector's office. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to casually stroll into the IRS office just because. I'm probably going to walk quickly by it. And it was worse at that time. There was a lot of ill will to the tax collectors, and for good reason. But Jesus saw Matthew. He actually saw Matthew, a man who was despised by outsiders. And he said to him. Follow me. So he arose and followed him. Let's continue in verse 10. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They're digging. They're trying to find something. These people are lowly and dirty. Why are you eating with them? And so Jesus has a choice. He can either focus on these men who are trying to criticize and undermine Jesus at every turn, or he can focus on those who are in real need. Verses 12 and 13. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to the righteous, but sinners, to repentance. Jesus saw the sinners. Jesus saw those who were in need, those who needed him the most. Skip down to verses 18 through 21. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. How many years had this woman gone unseen? How many years had this woman been an outcast? How desperate and alone this woman must have been. But Jesus turns and he sees her. He sees who she is. He sees her need. And he heals this woman. Now let's skip down to verses 35 through 36. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus saw them, and he was moved to compassion. Because they were weary and scattered. Weary and scattered. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like the world today? Weary? Tired of death? Tired of wars? Tired of the constant news cycle. Tired of being bombarded with sin. Weary. Scattered. How about scattered? People today don't know what to worship. They worship alcohol, drugs. Politicians, phones, news, anything but God. They're scattered. In chapter 6, he says he felt his compassion. He feels compassion for the lost, the weary, the scattered. Let me ask you something. How many people do you have contact on a daily basis? How many people do you work with, worship with? How many family members do you have in contact with? How many people do you pass by in the grocery store, in the restaurant? How many people serve you? Now, how many people do you actually see? Do you actually see your family members? Do you actually see the people that you're worshiping with right now? How many do you actually see? How many did you see this last year? How many did I actually see? How many of those people do you show actual compassion for? Actual compassion. This is what I want to work on this year. I need to work on this. I can lack compassion at times. And this is what I challenge you to focus on. It's really easy to see the negative things. It's really easy to see your predicament. Whatever you're going through, it's easy to focus on that. That's what the world wants us to see, is you do you. It's easy to focus on the wars, the economy, the taxes, the politics, the Taylor Swift of the world. That stuff is easy. It's easy to be selfish. That's what it is. Truly seeing people and helping them with their needs is hard. Truly bringing God's word is hard, and that's true compassion. It means that you come second at times. It means that you have to look outside of yourself, get outside your comfort zone. Because in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Have you ever said this? And I've said this. People just don't want to hear the gospel. People don't want to hear it. I've tried. I told someone they didn't want to hear it. But Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Not the harvest is y'all. The laborers are few because there are few who want to truly see people. Truly see the person worshiping with you. Truly see what they're going through, how you can help them. Truly see the person you work with. Truly see your family members. What are they going through? How can you help them get to heaven? There are few who focus on how Jesus truly sees people. So my challenge for you this year is to lift up to your eyes and see that the harvest is plentiful. Truly open your eyes. Look at the people around you and try to see as Jesus sees. Thank you.